Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to a Friday, July 1st, 2022 edition here on the Chase Most Podcast, presented by the Blue Wire Pod Network. I cannot believe that it is July 1st already. June flew by. Pretty wild. Indeed that we're here, but we are here and it's Friday, so we've got a couple of new episodes here on the Friday edition of the Chase Thomas podcast. All kinds of great stuff on today's program as we head into a holiday weekend. We kick things off on this edition with Chris Brockman of the Rich Eisen Show. Yeah, Chris, old friend of mine. Really enjoyed our conversation. We talked a lot of college football, surprisingly, to start things off here, because a lot broke in the realignment stuff, USC, UCLA, he's a Syracuse guy, I'm a Tennessee guy, all that good stuff, just about where college football is going for a little bit. But then getting into the meat of the conversation was the New England Patriots. Their offseason, he's Pat's guy, obviously, Boston. So we were able to talk all things Pat's, Mac Jones, the AFC East, New York, Miami, Cole Strange, what the expectations are for year two in New England under Mac Jones, who's even calling plays, how the draft looks, where their weaknesses are, all that more. Chris Brockman of the Rich Eisen Show coming up in just 1 second on part one. So there you go. Part one coming up in just 1 second here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. Don't forget, folks, you can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseThomas Podcast. Like and subscribe. Check us out there. As always, you can email this very program at ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. Tweet at me at Chase_Thomas and like the Facebook page at Facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. And then, of course, read me, SportsRenaissanceMan.substack.com. I have a new piece on DeJounte Murray and the Hawks that you can read over on the website. So check that out. Subscribe today, SportsRenaissanceMan.substack.com. All right, that's all I've got. Two-parter today here on a Friday. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to the Chase Thomas podcast with Chris Brockman, old friend of the Rich Eisen Show. Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hey, man. Good to see you. How you been?
Not too bad. This is like one of those days where I wonder at every business with folks who don't do sports as their full-time thing, like, I wonder how that goes, because there's no anyone who watches any kind of sports or is into it at all is just not getting any work done this afternoon. The workday is shot with college football, Kevin Durant, and everything else. Like, that is all people are looking at. We're getting ready to jump on this pod. Like, it's amazing. Like, I'm sure with you guys at Rich Eisen, it's the same kind of thing where you're like, man, one of the things that stinks right now with this landscape and what's happening every single day, it's like you record something, you have a guest on, and then like an hour later, something breaks. Then you're like, is this even already outdated? Like, did we already miss the boat? Like, it's just sports. I need you to calm down, because 100%. Our content cannot handle this never ending stream. I can only do so many emergency reaction pods before I leave the industry altogether.
And it's so funny, because like right as we went off the air today, Scott Van Pelt had tweeted out, like, this is our last SportsCenter live tonight before some time off. And thank you to sports for sportsing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, people ask us all the time, you know, we're kind of a football heavy show, as you know, and it's, what do you guys talk about in the off season? I mean, football season's really only from September to February. Then what do you talk about? Like, what? It's June 30th. This is arguably the slowest sports week of the year. I mean,
yeah,
NBA draft was last week. We're getting ready for free agency, so there's not much happening, right? NFL, there's no train, there's no workouts, there's no mini camps, there's no, guys are on vacation, dudes are in LA, tight end university is happening, like that happened, you know, that's all. NBA, you know, hockey's over, the Avalanche parade was today, and then from the heavens, just you know, college football news, and now NBA trade stuff is just going nuts. It's, and thank God we're, I will say, this off season more than ever, we have been on the air. So we're noon to three live on the East Coast. We have been on the air for more of these just bombshell break. We were on the air live when Russell Wilson got traded. We were on the air live when Tyreek Hill got traded. We're on the air live when Aaron Rodgers announces he's staying in Green Bay. We're on the air live for not only Kevin Durant's trade request today, but USC and UCLA announcing they're going to the Big Ten. So thank the sports gods that they've decided to drop all of this news between the hours of noon and 3 p.m. Eastern. It's just, thank you so much.
I mean, thank you for that, but also not thank you to the college football power brokers, because I don't like this. I don't know where you're at with
it. You don't like it. Okay, why?
So I knew that it was inevitable, right? Like, we were eventually, like, the powers that be were wanting, like, the NFL is the cream de la cream, like, right? Like, everything wants to be the NFL, where just the moneymaker, like, the NFL is king and they run everything. And that's what every television exec wants to build, right? They want something where we can get the best ratings or the closest thing to the NFL model. And college football is moving more and more towards that. And they have been for years and years.
Right.
And now it's just like we have the AFC and the NFC now with the Big Ten and the SEC, where if you read the report on Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, where it's like you're going to look at two 2024 team conferences. And I'm sure, I guess we'll bring back divisions and split them up regionally with those two conferences. But I think, at this point, a lot of the regional ties and a lot of the stuff that made college football different have already been killed by most administrations to this point. But it was just, I think it's just so much change so quick that a lot of folks, I'm curious, like, they're betting on people grumbling as it changes, but they're still going to watch because it's still college football and they're still just going to eat their vegetables and move on with the times. But for me, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, you're a Syracuse alum. You're a Syracuse guy. Like, if you're a Syracuse football fan right now, you're nervous. You're going to get left out in the cold because the ACC is going to be the wild, wild west pretty soon, where what do you do? You might be an FCS team in 2 years. That's a possibility.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, probably since I graduated, they've been trending in that direction anyway, just from a competition standpoint. I mean, we really have Syracuse. I say we, meaning Syracuse, like, we haven't been relevant in college football in a long time. I mean, Donovan McNabb was 24 years ago now. So, you know, you could kind of see the writing on the wall. And yes, they did join the ACC, and that was for college football, but it was really also because they were kind of building a super basketball conference in the ACC as well. And so, yeah, they're going to be done. Totally. I've kind of just abandoned ever having.
I mean, it's not even just them, though. It's them. It's the
Pac-12. The Pac-12 was ranked in the top 25, but that was kind of an anomaly. But yeah. I see your point. I'm totally okay with it. I think, look, college football has been the, you know, NFL minor leagues for a very, very, very long time. And, and so with this, you are kind of kicking tradition and rivalries and all of that stuff to the curb for the sake of money and TV ratings, I suppose. But I guess in the end, if your idea is to have, and your mission is to have the best team win the championship each year, this is only going to make that better, right?
I just don't think that's what fans want. So if you talk to any Tennessee fan, or you talk to any, like, you married into Georgia fandom, like, part of the appeal is not winning the title. Like, Georgia fans forever was like beating Auburn, like that Auburn weekend. It's about the regular season. College football has always been a regular season sport. And if you expand to this point where it's all about the college football playoff and getting to 12 to 16, whatever teams, and we just turn this into the NFL kind of model, I think it's just a complete misunderstanding of what college football fans actually want. And I don't think there's any USC or UCLA fan, or like, how do you talk to these kids' recruits' parents? If you're in Southern California, where you're like, okay, here's your schedule for this fall. You're going to Piscataway, and then you're going to East Lansing, and then you're back in Southern California. And then guess what? You're going to Iowa next weekend. Like, it's not conducive to a lot of these kids' parents. It's not conducive to the regional structure. Like, part of the reason kids and 5-stars and 4-stars stay home is they want their family and friends to be able to go see them. Like, if you're a 5-star in Texas, you want a reason to stay at Texas or Texas A&M because, hey, my parents and my friends and everyone can come see me play. Now it's like, good luck. You're not doing that. Like, that's not happening. Like, you're flying all over the place now. Like,
but I guess they're operating under the belief that these schools once cared for these kids and actually care about their future, which I don't think has ever been the case. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's inevitable that this was going to happen. I mean,
I agree with that.
You could kind of see it. This has been down the pike for years, you know. Just look at, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are joining the SEC, you know. It's like, and this started a long time ago when, did Maryland join the Big Ten? Nebraska joined, you know, Colorado, same deal. Like, so this has been 10, 12 years kind of in the making. It's just, in a way, I'm happy that everyone's being out front and open pretty much about talking about how it's kind of all about the money. And now we're seeing it play out that it really is. And so, you know, when you say the silent stuff out loud, it doesn't always work out for good. Not that this is good. I mean, this is good in the sense that we're going to get the best college football games, I think.
Yes.
Pretty much every weekend.
Which, like, the cupcake games are gone. Like, yeah, if you're doing this, they're gone.
So, like, Alabama playing, you know, St. Mary's School for the Blind, like, in week three after they have a tough opener, like, that's over with. Now you're going to play 12, 14 monster games every weekend. And then you're going to have a 16 team tournament probably for the best team in the nation. And that's good for fans. And you kind of brought this up too, like, the leaders of college football don't have any idea what college football fans want, but college football fans are evolving. Right. And so kind of the older fan who cared more about tradition and rivalries, they're kind of going away. And now these younger fans who are just like, they don't care about, you know, the travel, or they don't care about, you know, Georgia playing Notre Dame, which is really a rivalry, but if they've been playing a lot recently. And so now that's a big thing and they don't really care. Cause it's like, oh, Notre Dame, I know them. Georgia, I know they're awesome. Sure. Let's watch them play college football. And that's cool.
I don't like it, Chris. You're not going to sell me.
No, I'm not going to sell you because you're a hardcore Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so I totally understand that, because college football in your lifetime has always mattered to you more than any other sport. And so I guess for someone like me who I moved around a lot as a kid. So I wasn't tied to an area or a part of the country where college football mattered a lot. And then I went to, while my school did have big time college football at one point in the 80s and 90s with Donovan McNabb and Marvin Harrison and all these great players, college football doesn't matter too much to Syracuse anymore. I mean, they long since became pretty much basketball only. And so for me, it's just kind of like, I don't have those strong historical ties to a team or a region. So it's like, sure, let's rock and roll. Like, if we're just going to, if it's always been the NFL minor leagues, let's just have this out in the open now. Let's give these kids the money that they deserve. And let's go. It's go time on Saturdays. Like, buckle up, because it's going to be awesome.
I agree with that. And it's the long time ago. Like, once the TV rights and the TV revenue and everything got so big, it was just, this was inevitable. Like, you could not sustain the old model with this, and they're just tearing it down. It's just, there's no one steering this ship. There's just every conference doing their own thing.
Right.
Like, they just did the alliance last year, and there was an, a handshake agreement that they were going to work together and not poach each other.
We're not going to poach teams. And it, yeah. That's exactly what's happening now.
That stuff where you're like, there's just no rules. So I don't know where we're going. I just know that every conference is going to look out for themselves and keep doing their own thing. And I don't know. I don't think it's a healthy trajectory. And I think baby steps go a long way. When you throw this much, I don't know, the comments, and you just got to kind of be at a big time college football program on Saturday. You got to talk to folks and see what their temperature is and see how they see things. But I think ultimately a lot of folks grew up with college football, and like Kansas State fans never had no expectation that they were going to win a national championship. That's never been why they go and tailgate on Saturdays. It's not why Mizzou fans go and tailgate on Saturdays. So I think that's more of what I'm saying with the misunderstanding with what college football fans want is it's always been kind of a regular season sport. And it's like, well, they're the NFL minor leagues. It's like, well, the NFL has still always been about a champion. College football has never been about a champion until the college football playoff came in.
NFL
and
was about the playoffs, and then Super Bowl, where college football has kind of been the reverse. And then now in the last, I mean, when did the BCS start? 99. So guess for the last 20 plus years, it's been, well, we have this now sort of playoff.
Mm.
And so we're trying to get there. I like what you said about baby steps. And it got me to think about NIL and the transfer portal, because those things have not been baby steps. There's really no, you know, regulation or kind of oversight on what these two things are. And like everyone says, you know, tries to blame NIL for what eventually would be the downfall of college football. But it's really the transfer portal, which I'm totally cool with. Like these kids get used and abused and chewed up and spit out by these programs with, you know, little regard for their future, you know. So why not, if a kid doesn't like his situation, let him go somewhere else and better himself for whatever his future may be on the next level playing football. But there has to be some type of oversight for the NIL situation, or else you're going to get these.
But that's not coming. I think transfer stuff will come. Like, I think there will be like portal windows where you can come, but you're going to be in antitrust issues. Like, you're not going to be able to legislate these collectives out of this. Like, that's not happening.
No. And then you get, you know, the Nick Saban, you know, Jimbo Fisher thing, which hilarious for me. It's just kind of like, I understand what Nick was doing there. He's talking to his booster group of people like, hey, they're paying. Why aren't you paying? I know
he was complimenting Jimbo. That whole thing was a
misunderstanding. It really was. It was such a misunderstanding. And Jimbo took it way too far.
Yeah.
I just don't think he really got what Nick was trying to do.
Well, it's the change too quickly, because said that 10 years ago, that has complete different connotations to what it meant today. And I think those coaches who've been coaching for a really long time, that was cheating years ago. Now it's how you win. So it's just more of like, you have to like recondition the older coaches to be like, no, this is actually how this works. And he's complimenting you, saying that you're going to keep beating him in recruiting unless things change. So I don't know. I
know it's really wild, man. And like, what does this mean for the Pac-12? We were saying on our show today that the Pac-12 is toast. It's over. Pour one out. You know,
well, I think the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the ACC are all toast. I think this tells us, when you look at the revenue expectations for like the next 10 years, those three are gone. Like, they're going to get the SEC and the Big 10 are just going to be like Oregon, Florida State, Miami, Clemson. We're picking our teams. We're picking the best ones. And then the rest of you guys, you're going to FCS too. Like, that's just kind of
figure it out. I mean, you're on your own.
It's going to be brutal. Like, there's going to be so much more backstabbing to figure out who's going to get into these 20 to 24 mega conferences, and so many hurt feelings and so much bad blood that I don't know.
I think the funniest thing out of all of what happened today was someone told the LA Times that it was for all sports at USC except
volleyball. Yeah.
That was just unbelievably funny. I mean, unintentionally funny, obviously, but it just, you know, one of my friends was like, what, and they don't want to play beach volleyball in Iowa? Suck it up, nerds. You know? Like, oh, it was so good. So good.
There you go. But we'll see. Who knows what will come out tomorrow? It's Thursday. We still have one more day.
There's still one more. There's still one more day before everything shuts down next week for the 4th. Ah, it's awesome sports. You're right. How can you, people who don't like sports, I think about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? What do you talk about? Like, what gets you fired up? And, oh, man, it's the best.
I agree. We have some NFL stuff that I want to pick your brain on, Chris. So the Pats, I think the AFC East is extremely interesting going into next year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably the most competitive top to bottom that it's been in a really long time, where you can make the case for all four teams having pretty great seasons. Like, you could see people don't want to, like, you don't want to be first on, like, Zach Wilson's going to make the leap, or the first guy on Tua makes the leap, because more often than not, you'll probably be wrong, but no one wanted to do that with Josh Allen, right? Like, after the first year, they're like, I don't want to do it. But then it happens. It happened with Mahomes. Yeah. It happens with Allen. Like, it will happen. If it's going to happen for one of these guys, it happens very, very, very early on, and that's it. The odds of Tua and or Zach Wilson not popping, or Mac Jones as well, and becoming one of the best quarterbacks in this conference, I think is pretty slim. I think one of the three have to pop and become franchise guys for the next 5 to 10 years, whatever that is, and compete with Josh Allen year over year. It seems like Mac Jones is kind of the favorite for that among the three right now. But when you look at the current landscape of the AFC East, like, where, as a Pats guy, like, where do the Pats realistically stack up based on what they did in the draft and free agency?
Oh, man, good question. Yeah, I mean, just on the leap for a second, we've never seen someone make the type of improvements that Josh Allen has made year to year. And that is just, I think it's kind of like a one-on-one situation. So expecting Mac Jones and Zach Wilson and Tua to suddenly be MVP contenders, you know, this coming season is a little bit unrealistic, but can they get their team to the playoffs? Yeah, absolutely. Cause we saw Mac Jones do it last year as a rookie. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to end up being a great player, but Mac Jones is going to be a really good player for a long time. But specifically to the and probably the best quarterback in that draft class, even though I personally wanted Justin Fields in the draft, just because it was something different. You know, we talked about this on our show a lot. Like, I get a lot of grief because I called Mac Jones a minivan, you know, and I wanted a sports car.
Yeah.
And then Rich was like quick to point out, yeah, well, the minivan took you to 6 Super Bowls. I know, I get it, but I watched that for 20 years and I just wanted something different. It's kind of like a midlife crisis where suddenly you just buy yourself a sports car and like, yeah, the sports car would have been awesome and I would have really enjoyed it. And I think that's who Justin Fields is. So I'm,
that's also why like Pat fans love Cam, right? Like, they wanted Cam to work out so well because it was completely different. Awesome. Yeah.
And I loved Cam coming out of the draft, and I loved him at Carolina, and I wanted him to be awesome for us. It just didn't work out. So when I look at the AFC East, I think you're right. Like, top to bottom, it's going to be a really interesting division because you have this team that is the Super Bowl favorite. Mm-hmm. And then you have three other teams who are all kind of in the same spot.
Where you could like make the case where all of them win 9 or 10 games.
Absolutely. You could make the case that they all make the playoffs, or you can make the case that they all kind of just fall back. I mean, you look at the Dolphins, they end the year on an 8-game winning streak, right? You got the Jets, who have so many great, promising, potential young players, with a quarterback that people loved coming out of the draft, consensus number 2 pick. He's put on some weight, he's beefy, he's got a huge arm. They draft the number 1 running back out of the draft, Breece Hall. They already had a guy, Michael Carter, who had a great year. They have young, good receivers. And they have a new a coach that is exciting and knows what he's doing. You got a front office that know what they're doing. Like, I sit with a Jets fan every single day. He has not been this excited about his team in forever. And that's kind of scary because I'm like, I give him a bunch of, you're just a Jets fan. But then I look at the run, I'm just like, wow, this team could really be good.
I mean, you flipped Denzel Mims he's now like number 5 on the wide receiver depth chart. Like, they've flipped wide receiver room. They've slipped. Like, there's just talent everywhere.
Talent everywhere on the Jets. And that's so scary. And then I look at New England and we're just kind of like, we're just plugging along. We're like a little engine that could. We're just kind of doing our thing. But grabbing Devontae Parker, sneaky good. Really good running backs like Ramondre Stevenson could go on a team and be a number 1 guy. And now you pair him up with Damian Harris. You still got James White. How much is he going to play? Not sure. But you still got the two tight ends. And then Jacoby Myers. There's like, I don't know. And then you see the reports coming out of New England that Mac Jones is suddenly this dog and he's this leadership. He's lost kind of the baby fat that kind of made famous from, you know, that yeah. one picture of him smoking the cigar at Alabama a few years ago. So I'm super psyched as a Pats fan. I mean, I completely done a 180 on Mac Jones. While I wasn't that hype on draft day, I watched what he did last year as a rookie. I read everything about what he's been doing this offseason. I hear what the players are saying. I think that's more important than anything. Like, writers and guys who cover the team, they can say whatever they want, but when it's coming from the players who are on the field and in the locker room and are excited about this guy, as a fan, you have to be excited. That has to get you going, because you think, wow, okay, we go from the greatest quarterback of all time, mm-hmm. and then we have, you know, a bridge year where mm-hmm. we don't really know what's going to happen. It was the COVID year too, so that was kind of jacked up. And then you're like, man, are we just going to slip back into mediocrity? Are we going to be one of these other teams? Are we going to be just like everybody else now? And then Mac Jones does what he does, and you're like, maybe not. Maybe we can be at the top, you know, a perennial playoff team with this kid for a long time, and maybe, you know, get our way to a Super Bowl like the Bengals did last year. You know,
yeah.
guys who make that year two leap, look no further than Joe Burrow, man.
Right.
That guy did it.
And one of these guys is probably going to do it. Year three for Tua, year two for Zach, or year two for Mac. Like, one of these guys, you're going to look back at it, it's just going to be like December, January, and you're like, whoa, one of these three are going to be 12 to 13 wins. And you're like, okay, they're a contender. And it just is going to catch everybody by surprise.
Yeah. And I think if you're asking me, like, just put my team aside, it's really set up for Miami. And like, it's kind of the biggest year of Tua's football life coming up. Think about it. You know, you got a new coach, Mike McDaniel. This guy, we saw what he did in San Francisco. We saw what he did for their run game and their offense. And then you see the type of speed and talent that they're putting around Tua down there, man. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill now, and Mostert came over, and like, they are just Gesicki is a, I mean, I would snag him in fantasy if you have a chance to. You see the type of weapons that are going to be surrounding this guy. It's like, all right, bro, this is it. Like, this is it for you, man. Like,
yeah,
you're going to do it. Now's the time. It's year three. You are healthy. Like, I just wish the Dolphins social media team would do Tua a little more favors, you know? Like, they know they put out that video of him throwing the bomb to Tua.
Yeah.
I mean, to Cheetah, and it was wobbly pass. It was behind him. It wasn't in stride, and they were just like, bomb. Like, it was awesome. Like, do your man some favors. Like, this is a guy who he hasn't been great for a long time, like, really since his early years at Bama. Like, help him out. But I think if anyone's going to really make a leap like that, it's going to be him, just because of what's around him and the coach. I mean, in New England, they don't even know who's calling the plays. Like,
Matt Patricia, who is it?
We don't even know who the offensive coordinator is.
Like, yeah.
Is it the guy who got fired in Detroit, or is it the guy who got fired in New York? Like, which one? You know, you let
the they take turns. Whoever's yeah.
I mean, yeah. So anyway, I mean, I think if there's one, it's really on Miami. I think they're kind of, weirdly, I think they're the team with the most pressure on them in the division. You know, I think Buffalo could just roll the ball out and win 11 games and take the division. But it's kind of up to these other three teams as to where they're going to shake out. I kind of bring this up all the time. When you look at the NFL playoffs, there's 50% turnover every single year. Right. And so the Pats were one of those seven teams in the AFC to make it last year. And when you look at, you know, which three or four aren't going to make it, man, they're a prime candidate. So I'm a little worried as a Pats fan, even though I'm super psyched for Mac Jones's future, because I think he's awesome. And I think the run game and the defense is good enough to kind of keep them in most games. But who's got the most upside? 100% it's Miami.
That's interesting. I would still probably say the most upside is New York. I think if everything goes right, just because of both sides of the ball now and where they're at with their tackle spot and where they're at with, like, if Zach Wilson is just, you look at it, I'm a big Elijah Moore guy. I think Breece Hall will obviously be really good for them early on. I love the Sauce Gardner pick. Like, you just look up and down this list and you're like, man, it's funny too. Like, if you just take out Zach Wilson, you put Mac Jones on the Jets? Because remember, there is a San Francisco connection with New York, where Robert Saleh obviously worked under Kyle Shanahan as the DC, and Kyle obviously loved Mac Jones too. It's like, if you have your Jimmy Garoppolo type, the Mac Jones type in New York with this group, with the maybe not the highest ceiling, like Zach Wilson still has a higher ceiling than Mac Jones, but the floor is so much higher for Mac than Zach that there's no question, I think, for a lot of people that they're like, oh yeah, he'll find a way to get the ball to everybody he needs to. Mac will get to Elijah a little bit. He'll feed CJ Uzama, who also came over from Cincinnati.
That's a big move. Yeah, that's a big move.
They just don't really have any weaknesses. Like, Joe Douglas has completely flipped this, but it's also like, I just fall back on, I think I just trust Mac the most of the three. Like, I I just trust Mac Jones. I think he's just a really, really good player that, I mean, look, he ruined one of my Thursday nights this past fall. Like, I don't know if you remember that game against the Falcons on Thursday this past year.
Yeah.
It was one of the worst football games I've ever had to sit through. And my notes, like, I almost just started writing in my notes, like, as I'm taking notes for all my games. I don't know if you do that, but I'm just jotting down. I'm like, oh, another Mac 5 yard out, another Mac curl. Like, it's just, they would refuse to take any chances. It was field goals all over the place. Yeah. The Falcons barely crossed the 50. Well, I
mean, that's what you do with a rookie quarterback.
Oh my God. I hated it so much. That was the worst football game I've ever sat through. And I think it might be.
I mean, I guess you do have a good point. Like, if you just look on paper rosters, how they've been constructed, the Jets probably have more talent than the Pats and Dolphins, but massive question mark.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, because we just haven't seen him do it. He had a lot of growing pains as a rookie that Mac Jones did not have. Mm-hmm. And that was probably due to a lot of coaching. You know, Josh McDaniels and Bill obviously did a great job of not putting Mac. I mean, look, that game in Buffalo, he threw it twice, right? Mm-hmm. Three times. And they won at Buffalo in that crazy windstorm BS. So, look, I mean, obviously we know Zach Wilson has, you know, tremendous wow and, you know, explosive factor potential with him. And so he just has to do it. He just has to kind of go out and do it. And, you know, reports and out of the mini camps are he's been a little bit inaccurate or whatever. But, look, that only just comes with reps. I mean, Josh Allen was 50% at Wyoming.
Yeah.
And now he's MVP favorite on the Super Bowl favorite in 4 years. So, you know, it'll come. It'll come for Zach Wilson. He's going to have his moments and he's going to do dumb stuff because that's what young quarterbacks do.
We'll see. Now that you've had a couple months to reflect, does the draft feel better? Like the Cole Strange pick feel better? Because they got killed. Like everyone universally killed the Pats draft. Like everyone killed it. They're all like, we understand that Cole Strange is going to be a great Pat for the next 10 to 15 years. Like we all understand he's a plug and play guy.
Right.
And look, shout out to UT Chattanooga, go Mox. But I don't know. Like now that you've had some time, do you feel better about what Belichick did?
You know, it's like, we've been operating under this mantra for so long, you know, and Bill, we trust, but Bill has kind of whiffed in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. He's kind of had some big misses. So you're sitting there and you're like, what are we going to do? Let's go after it. You know, there was a dude from Utah I wanted, N'Kobe Dean, I thought would have been awesome. And it's just like, we need an impact guy on defense. Cause like, we don't know if Hightower's coming back. Seems like he's not. Mm. And, you know, we don't know if, who's the other dude the athletic guy they had and then went back to Cleveland and then came back. I'm blanking on his name.
I'm not sure off the top of my head either.
Is he going to come back? And it's just like Cole, hold on. Let me just quick check my notes real quick. Who is this guy? Like from where?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if Bill knows, I mean, he probably was at his pro day. I'm sure he watched, you know, every game he's ever played. I guess he knows.
But Mac Wilson, by the way.
Say that again.
Mac Wilson. Was that who you're thinking of?
Oh no, I'm blanking on his name. We was on the pass for a while, and then he left. Super athletic guy. And then he went to Cleveland, and then we got him back. And then it's just like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But when you think about this dude, obviously I made the joke on draft night. It's going to be cool to be at Cole Strange's, you know, 2046 Hall of Fame induction. Like this guy, you know, he could be the next great lineman. Nobody has any idea. He's an older rookie And so, I mean, I've really talked myself into it because they really needed offensive line help. And so it was one of the areas of need. You just thought that it would be kind of a sexier pick.
Yeah.
But it's always a wait and see with these draft picks. But, you know, I kind of do it now with kind of a in the back of my mind. I'm wondering, should Bill still be the GM? Like, I kind of feel like, is lightning going to strike me if I say this? Because that's not what I would have done. Obviously, he knows more than me. But, you know, again,
you just ride it out to the end.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's, you know, in a weird way, it's kind of like the Mac Jones thing. It's like, it's not sexy at all. Like, nothing about it is like in bright lights. And, you know, Cole Strange didn't have a necklace with Strange on it like Sauce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing about that guy is, you know, gets you super excited. But, you know, when you watch him play and he doesn't give up a sack this year, you're like, cool. That's why we drafted that guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just kind of a wait and see and hope it works out. And
because, I mean, isn't the whole point, like, supposed to,
you know, the whole draft is a crapshoot. You know what I mean?
Yes. And it's like, there's going to be, like, it's just funny to kill that pick and also kind of understand that, like, okay, we're going to kill this pick, bad value. They could have gotten him later, whatever. And then you go through your, who's most likely to stick and to be one of the best players at that spot going forward. And it's like, everyone would put Cole Strange in like the top five non-bust potential in New England. It's like the majority of these picks are not going to work out. And you're like understanding that this pick's probably going to work out in New England. So can you really kill a pick that you kind of just make because you're like, we'll plug him in and he'll be fine and he'll be great for a long time and a multi-time All-Pro? It's like, I don't think you can kill that. I understand like the value chart for that, but I don't think you can kill it if you also expect him to be a really good player for years.
Right. And I felt even bad like kind of going on the air the next day and kind of like making a snide remarks about it because he obviously super psyched to be on the, like, you're on the Patriots, bro. Like,
right.
Obviously, it's the greatest day of his life, and, you know, people in New England are up here going, what was that? He thinks he's Division II, FC, like, why is he even out there? Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, let's cut these kids some slack, and, like, let's watch him actually play football first and see how it works before. You know, it's one of those things, like, draft grades are the stupidest things ever because, like, you really don't know how good these guys are for 3 or 4 years afterwards, but...
I'll tell you, Kevin Harrison, sixth round, is going to be your next guy. Like, I watched him a lot at South Carolina. Like, that's one, if for folks who did not watch college football, it's like Kevin Harris is going to be a pat for a long time and just be a pain in the ass. Like, that dude is – he was built for New England.
Yeah. And as much as I hate, like, draft grades and all that stuff, like, the Jets had the most amazing draft, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. We just took who? And the Jets just got – three top five picks in the first round, and you're just like, what? Like, come on, man.
But you also just look at this defense, and I just don't see, like, they obviously beef up more in the secondary, but you look at it, I don't really see any glaring weak. Like, this should be a top 10 defensive DVOA team again next year, and if Mac Jones is a little bit better, it's like they're a playoff team again. Like, they're a high floor team still. Like, I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yep, high floor team. I mean, really tough schedule this year. You know, it's one of those things, like, they could be, I really have to get used to the 17 games. I was about to say 7-9. Like, they could be, you know, the window is 7-10 or 11-6. You know, it's like, it's tight. They're not going to be on the 4-win to 11-win spectrum. They're either going to be 500 or, you know, 2 or 3 games over. And I think that's totally realistic. Kind of.
You're back in the Bledsoe era.
Based where you're at. Yeah, I think so. Which, by the way, got to a Super Bowl. So, you know, it's just going to be one of those things where it's not going to be like it'll never be like the old days where you're just like, oh, we're going 13-3 and, you know, 14-2 and everyone else.
Can deal
with it. We're probably going to the Super Bowl. And, like, that's going to be awesome. You know, those days will never come again.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be in the, I think we can make the playoffs. Like, that's great because so many teams year in and year out, fan bases don't get the, feel that way or think that, you know, like, being a Lions fan has to be the worst. Sorry. I don't know why I just Detroit astray there, but you know what I mean? Like, what is their up? Like, oh man, I hope we go 6-11 this year.
The culture they're building. That's my favorite. It's like, when you're bad, it's like the culture we're building is it's really great. We're learning how this works. I mean, he's a dark horse for first coach fired because I think
you think Campbell's a dark horse.
So when you bet on 34 games of Jared Goff in 2021 and 2022, like you're just putting yourself in a position where every team has a quarterback just about, and you're one of the few that don't. And this is still a TV sport. It's still a we need butts in seats. And if this offense is still bad and you haven't taken a quarterback in back-to-back years and there's no young, exciting quarterback to go with the culture that you're building, and it's fun to be in close games, but what's not fun is to not show that offensive progress and to just win or lose. There's a difference between being fun and going 4-13, and there's a complete difference going 5-11 or like even 7-10 and it just being a slog. I don't know. I think it's bad.
They played hard. I think they play hard for him, which I think matters and kind of buys you a little bit of extra time. I mean, I think Matt Rhule's kind of first up to get fired.
I think he is the betting favorite. Yeah.
Oh, is he the betting favorite? Yeah. I haven't looked at those yet. But yeah.
I think it's him, McCarthy too.
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone knows, the thing is like everyone knows Sean Payton's going to be the Cowboys coach in 2023. So like, why are we?
Oh, I think it's Dan Quinn. I think they're just waiting for Quinn.
Why are we waiting around?
I mean, I don't know if Payton comes back, man.
He is 1,000% coaching in the NFL in 2023.
Do you think so? Yeah, I think a lot of these guys when they get out, man. My theory too is just I think a lot of these guys like McVay is not going to be coaching in his 40s and 50s. Like I think a lot of these dudes want to get their rings, really go balls to the wall, and then they're like, "All right, this life balance does not work. It takes too much. I'm out." Like this is going to be you're not going to see a lot of Belichicks of the world where you just last for years and years, and the Andy Reid types where I don't know. I just think it's more responsibility.
Sean Payton was going to be the Dolphins coach this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was a Tom Brady and maybe an ownership stake or whatever. Wasn't there all kinds of other things going involved?
I believe all of that, by the way. Yeah. I think all of that was totally happening. Which makes how it went down. And the Belichick wrong text is still kind of the funniest thing ever. Like, what about, do you buy into this that maybe Bill did it on purpose because he got wind of what was happening and just wanted to blow up the Dolphins for fun?
I don't think so.
Probably, you're right. Yeah. Definitely not. But just to think about, like, I wouldn't put that past Bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's just so funny. Like, once you get that narrative around you, it's like you can talk yourself into anything that he would do. Like, once he's looked at as a Machiavellian type guy, it's just like, oh, yeah, he could do that. And it's like, I don't.
Yeah. So
he's sitting around with this husky. He's doing Nantucket. I don't think he even thinks about any of that stuff anymore.
No, probably not. But, like, you just kind of spit a little web of what you think could happen, and it's great. So yeah, I think Sean Payton's definitely coming back, but I would think Campbell kind of finishes the year.
We always say that, but look at Steve Wilkes in Arizona.
You're right. And the thing is, like, you talk about
Brian Flores went 8 straight and got fired because he could not develop Tua. Like that was that was a big part of it. It was like a split between developing Tua and not I don't know, man. This is a quarterback-friendly league, and if you do not have the I'll err on the side of you're not long for your team.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Half the playoff teams traditionally don't make it the next year, and 6 to 8 coaches get fired every year like clockwork.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at who's going to be roaming the sidelines this year, you know, 5, 6, 7 of those guys aren't going to be back in 23. So, you know, guys are going to lose jobs. It just kind of depends. You're one bad break away from kind of being like, well, my coaching career here is over.
Well, it's like I had a Cardinals writer on Monday, and he made a point which I had not considered, but I think it's actually speaking of the Steve Wilkes thing. It's like Matt Eberflus in Chicago, where when you look at the roster and Justin Fields in year two, where if that offense is Cardinals bad with Josh Rosen, and it's just one of those where it's 1-16 type thing, he's a wild card. Like, people just don't think they wouldn't fire him in a year. Defensive minded coaches that put out a horrible offensive product with bad young quarterback play, you're not going to last long. That's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And
I might throw 25 on Eberflus. Like, that's kind of wild. Ooh. Like, it's just.
Do we have Eberflus odds?
It's not high. Like, that's the thing is, like, you'd be made. Like, it's. That's one, folks, I would highly encourage you to think about, where it's like, if you don't think that this Bears team have enough offensive talent, and if this goes badly, really badly in the NFC North, like, that's absolutely a possibility. Like, Campbell and Eberflus are both not surviving. That is my 1,000% take. Is like both of them are not getting out of this season.
Can we parlay that?
I know.
That'd probably be pretty juicy. I don't know if you can do that. Oh, I love it. I can't wait to get ready to bet on some futures.
I do feel weird about betting on people's job security.
Yeah, the thing is, like, it's bad karma. Like, I don't want to bet on that. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to think about. It's fun to think about.
What did you get most wrong about Mac Jones that you look at it now on June 30th, 2022, that you're like, okay, he was not this, and he's actually this?
You know, it's kind of funny because when you look at what he did his last year at Alabama, if it wasn't for Joe Burrow's year just before that, Mac Jones had the greatest college football season ever by a quarterback. Yeah. And so him – I don't know why everyone thought that he wasn't going to be any good.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird. It was just like, he's a system guy. He's like Cousins. He'll go to the Niners and Shanahan will turn him into this, that. Mm-hmm. He would never succeed under any other system. And I guess that's kind of what I got wrong, is that he couldn't just plop into a place like New England and immediately have success. Like, I thought there would be more growing pains than there were last year, and maybe he'll have some of those in year two, as there's now a year of tape on him. You know, defensive coordinators will figure out what he can and can't do, and maybe he hasn't made the type of improvements that his teammates are talking him up to have made, the arm strength, the dogness, just a little more mobility. But
that I don't think is coming. I don't think the mobility is coming.
Probably not. But it's just like his ability to kind of just come in and win right away in the NFL, which I guess I was like, in hindsight, you're like, well, yeah, of course he could. He played for Alabama, and now he's going to New England. He had one of the greatest college seasons ever. He's accurate. Why wouldn't that translate? And I wasn't buying it.
It's because it wasn't flashy. Like, it just was not flashy. Joe Burrow was flashy. Like, it's just not – that's all it is you don't – like, it's just not – flashy. Yep. And that's, I don't know. I think it's interesting with on that front. And I wonder if we gave true serum to Kyle Shanahan, like at this point on June 30th,
would he go back and do it over again?
Yeah. And would he just take Mac Jones? Like, he had rumored to have just won it and not doing the wild card. Like, I just want the Mac Jones, Trey Lance stuff to be over. I want to see the tape of 17 games between the two of them. Like, I want to see what it looks like, because, you
know, and that's been kind of a running thing on our show. Like, about Trey Lance, and I want him to be good. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want anyone to come in and fail. But we just haven't seen him play football in 2 years. So my argument with 49ers fans has always been, how do you know?
Right.
Like, you're so convinced that he's going to be awesome and that he is going to bring you guys to the Super Bowl that Jimmy G was, you know, this far away from delivering to you. How do you know? You don't know. Just admit to yourself that you have no idea. You know as much as I do.
But it's also a bigger wild card than, I mean, the odds of him getting to two NFC title games. Like, Jimmy got to two NFC championship games in 2 out of 3 years. It's like, that's a high bar for Trey Lance to get to.
It's unbelievably high. And then they're just like, well, did you watch the games? Mm-hmm. Like, the defense carried him. They beat Green Bay without an offensive. He was out there. He was the leader.
You're not doing that with Nick Mullins.
Like, come on, man. Like, so because I don't want to, our 49ers Twitter is like, I've had to mute so many people. Like, I don't want to argue with you.
Yeah.
But my point is, how do you know? You don't know. You don't know until we watch him play 17.
Well, I think what gets him more frustrated is that, like, now we have a year of tape of Mac. And he was a playoff quarterback. And now it's like, okay, the ceiling was just like, if we just plug Mac into this Shanahan scheme, we're probably contending for the NFC championship year over year for a while. Cause the floor is so high that, like, now it's just the boomer bust type thing. And then obviously you always think of Carson Wentz and the last North Dakota State quarterback and how that's gone. And just not a lot. I don't know. I agree with you where the certainty is weird to me.
It's weird. It's weird. They're I wish I had their confidence, you know? Yeah. Love someone like Niners fans love Trey Lance total blindly, but again, rooting for the kid. I want him to be awesome, but I'm just, you know, I need to see it. I need to see it. We've seen a year of Mac Jones, and he led a team to the playoffs. that nobody was really thinking could make the playoffs last year, especially after how, you know, 2020 ended. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I've wondered the same thing. Like, would, if Kyle Shanahan could do it all over again, would he not make the trade, stay put?
Yeah.
Because were they at like 12 or 14 or something?
I think so. And you wouldn't have to, even if you had to move up a little bit, you wouldn't have to move up. You wouldn't have to skyrocket up for Mac Jones.
You wouldn't have had to go to number three and given up all that capital for him. So they're forced to play him. They're forced to throw him out there because of what they gave up to get him. You know, that's not a place you really want to find yourself in. But if he ends up being awesome and they win 12 games this year, then obviously it doesn't matter. And, you know, I'll eat some crow on that, but.
But I don't even think that's it. It's a year-over-year thing because you like Mac is locked in. Like Mac is locked in for a while.
He's going to be the Patriots starter for at least the next decade.
Right. So even if Trey Lance balls out this year, Carson Wentz had an MVP type season in Philadelphia. And like that still happened. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a year-over-year. It's like, oh, see, told you so. It's like, all right, let's see if Lance does this year-over-year. Yeah. It's like, I think it's a wild card. I don't think Mac Jones is a wild card.
The consistency, you know,
yes. You got to continue to evolve around you. Cause I mean, Mahomes is going to have to evolve this year. No Tyreek Hill. It's going to be different.
Yep. It's going to be different.
I don't know. And you look at that schedule. Chiefs are like my number one. I'm hitting the under on, like, they're my number one guaranteed under pick. Like they are hitting the under, losing Hill. And then that schedule is just, I don't see it. Like I think,
I honestly would even short them and say, Chiefs don't make the playoffs. Like, if that's kind of a bet that I would make just to throw it out there. If you're looking for kind of a long shot future, you know, that's kind of the one that I would make just because I'm just kind of basing it on history. Like, history and the numbers are kind of on my side to say that because of the turnover year to year for the playoff teams and your division greatly improved, whereas you did not. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's there. Justin Herbert could win MVP this year. The Raiders get the best wide receiver in football, and you lost one of the best receivers in football. So, you know, it's just kind of simple math. I mean, granted, they still have, you know, top four quarterback in the league, so anything can happen there. But everybody's now a year older. You know, I thought Kelsey looked pretty slow at times last year before he kind of turned it on in the playoffs, but he's not getting any younger either. So,
but it's just, you're going to have to play different. Like everything's going to be different. And I think
you got to play different.
Understand, like, Tyreek Hill was a much bigger part to Mahomes' development than
and the way he opened it up, you know, he could take a 7-yard slant to the house and that made him look really good. And, you know, we'll see.
Mecole Hardman's not that guy. Marquez Vascanting is not that guy.
Yeah, they're one of the teams I'm really interested to watch, especially in the first month. They'll probably be a team in the first month of the year looks greatly different than at the end of the year. But how they improve and how they kind of fill the gap that Tyreek is leaving, because, man, that guy was kind of a black hole for defenses and opened things up for everybody else while still being able to get his. I mean, that dude's something else, man. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
We'll end on this. Is there a bet that you've already constructed with Rich for Jets Pats, who has a better record? Like, with it being this competitive, this is the most, you said that Rich was excited about this Jets team. You have to parlay this into something, some sort of bet.
Yeah, that's a good point. We were actually we had one about Joe Burrow today which stinks. Cause like Joe Burrow is like Steph Curry. So I'm a Celtics fan. And so, and I love Steph Curry. So having to root against Steph Curry in the NBA Finals was not something that I was really enjoying, you know? And so I love Joe Burrow. But
Burrow's my guy, man. Coolest quarterback.
We were talking about, you know, just kind of a what's more likely scenario that kind of Joe Burrow falls into this Dan Marino category where he never gets back to another Super Bowl, or Joe Burrow ends up making multiple Super Bowls in his career. And I did the same thing, too. I was like, history and the numbers are on my side to say that he won't get back to another Super Bowl. Like, that is more likely than him somehow getting to multiples, because when you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's only ever been to one Super Bowl, and he's one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen.
And you're betting on the Bengals infrastructure to keep.
And you're betting on the Bengals and their ownership group and their front office, who, man, we got a long history of them not doing the right things, you know? So But that's the one guy who could change the culture. So it's just like, don't make me pick against Joe Burrow because I don't want to do that. I totally avoided your question. we don't have a Jets Patriots bet yet, but
you got to figure it out.
We definitely will. We've got a couple of months.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as a Mac versus Zach.
Yeah.
Bet, but it's probably just will be overall win total. Which I think should be right around even. I'd probably have to give him what would I have to give him? 1.5, maybe?
I would give him 1.5. 1.5 to 2.5, something like that. Yeah. Which is fair. I think it's fair because you win the playoffs last year.
Betting, so I'll probably give him the -1.5 and just call it good.
Yeah. I think you'd still be favored in that situation. I think it would still be a good bet for you. I think betting on the Pats infrastructure over the Jets infrastructure has paid off pretty well in the last 25 years.
Yeah, but Sala and Joe Douglas, I think they're a good team and they're going to be.
I agree. Like everything makes sense. Like if they don't do it now, if you're a Jets fan, you're just like, I'm jumping off buildings. Like this is like, if it, like we.
Oh,
we
no. Draft totally. So well.
If they this should not work out. Yeah.
They won. So they were four. They had four wins last year, right?
Yeah.
And so that was something we've done a little bit. Like which New York team is most likely to double their wins? Giants, Jets. They both had four.
The answer is the Jets. Yeah.
The answer is definitely the Jets. So like you need to see that type of improvement. Like if the Jets aren't 7-10 this year, I'd be pretty disappointed if I was a Jets fan.
At least, you're like, what else can we do? Like Joe Douglas is the best GM we've had in my lifetime.
Yeah. Right. They got the quarterback. They have all the young talent. Mm-hmm. They're just loaded. I really like their coach. I like Robert Saleh. So deep voice.
Loved him on Criminal Minds.
Deep voice, man. He is good looking. A lot of kids too. Like he is.
Does he?
I think he's got seven. I think he's like going for Phillip Rivers here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jets don't win seven games, I'd be pretty shocked.
Are we getting seven out of Brockman? We're at one now. You're a father now. How many more are we going? Are we thinking seven?
I would think the over under for more kids is 0.5.
Oh.
And I would say the under is looking pretty good.
There you go. I think I'm a one kid. I want to be a one kid. I don't know.
The one that I have is so amazing. I would I'd feel so terrible like having to be like, well, you're not as good as this one. Step your game up. You know what I mean?
I think it's a natural fear. And then it's like, oh, that's not reality. Like it's totally different. It won't ever go like that.
Yeah. It's just, you know.
How is fatherhood?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I get no
any surprises.
Surprises. We're just in the potty training mode right now.
Okay.
And so that's been kind of fun. He's actually taken to it. He does a really good job. Yeah.
Okay.
We were going to an LAFC game last night and we're just like on the highway and he's like, I gotta go pee. And so literally pulled over on the side of the road and we just like went on the side of the road. It was awesome. His first,
there you go.
His first highway pee, which was great. Big moment. First.
I had a buddy, one of my best friends who I'm not going to name who it is, but he had just you can learn a lot about somebody is like how open they are. A guy specifically is how open he is to where he'll pee. Like if he's just like on the side of the road, woods, whatever, then that tells you everything you need to know about that guy.
Yep.
I was never that guy. I'm like, I don't want to get arrested for this. Is the dumbest thing to get arrested for. I could never explain this to my parents. This is like, can't do it. And pulling over, that was a thing. Like he would just do it. He would at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's like, pull over, gotta go. And I'm just like, you're joking, right? Like any car drives by, like that's it. And he's like, I don't care.
Sometimes you just gotta go, man.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Chris Brockman, we can check you out on the Rich Eisen Show. How many years has it been now? Like what year are we?
We are coming up on year 8.
Okay.
So we started in so this would be our 9th football season. Did I do that?
Do you count the podcast too?
I don't. So I started on the podcast in 2011.
Yeah.
And then we started the show on DirecTV in 2014. Whew. So this is, just doing some quick math here. This will be season 9, season 8. I don't know. Yeah, it's been crazy. It's crazy. Almost 8 years and 9 football seasons. It's, I can't believe that we still get to do this. It's just, it's so fun. Never seems like work, especially when you have a crazy day like, oh, I don't know, Kevin Durant, trade demand, Pac-12 disintegration. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's why we do it, man. June 30th, and there's crazy big stories happening. So
Who knows? It's already broken. I don't have my phone with me.
That's what I mean. Stuff's been going off right now. Like in the last hour, we could have missed like who knows what.
Apologies. But folks, we're not doing that. It's not healthy to a work-life balance. That's not how we do things on this podcast. Won't transition to it. It's not what's happening.
I'm ready for an adult beverage. Let's go.
There you go. Chris Brockman, thank you so much. We'll have to check back in again soon.
Appreciate you, buddy. Talk soon.
All right, y'all. That'll do it for Chris Brockman of the Rich Eisen Show coming on part one here on the Chase Thomas podcast. Thank you again to Chris for making the time. Had a lot of fun catching up with him, and I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. Go check out the Rich Eisen Show Monday through Friday over on YouTube and all kinds of different ways to listen on the radio and all that good stuff. But one of the best national shows. So definitely go check that out. Rich Eisen, Chris Brockman, and the guys, they do great work over there. So check out their program as well. But don't forget, if you enjoyed today's program and you're an Apple Podcast or Spotify listener and you have not already done so, you know what I'm going to ask. Please make sure that you leave this show a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Helps other people find the show, and it helps this show continue to grow. As always, I appreciate you guys making the Chase Thomas podcast part of your daily listen. Yeah, daily, because there is new content here on this feed every single day. So make sure you're subscribed on your preferred podcast player so you get access to all of my episodes. So you can kind of pick and choose. There's just a full medley of topics and subject matters and super smart people that I'm just very fortunate to be able to talk to guys like Chris and everybody else here on the daily, here on the Chase Thomas podcast and the Blue Wire Pod Network. So there you go, youtube.com/Chase Thomas podcast. Like and subscribe, all that good stuff. And part two coming up in just 1 second. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.